to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the academic skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the academic skills advisors at the university. Joined today, as always, by my colleagues Carly. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And John. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
And Mari, not forgetting Mari. Hi, Mari.
Hi, everyone.
So today we thought we'd go back to basics because sometimes the simplest aspects of assignments just get missed when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with deadlines, placement and lots of stress. And we're seeing this quite a bit at the moment, lots of assignment hand-ins, and we tend to end up talking a lot about the same things, you know, a lot of the basics in terms of how to present your assignments, in terms of word counts, following instructions. And I know sometimes as a student, you might think that doesn't really matter, but it keeps you in the lecturer's good books. If they are concentrating on the content of your assignment and not getting annoyed by daft little mistakes or errors that could have been easily corrected, then that's really going to help you and, you know, puts them in a good frame of mind when they start marking your work. So we thought we would just sort of split this up a little bit and think about the different things to consider. So first thing, and I guess I'll bring Carly in right at the start here, about just getting things right at the start. So before you're maybe even starting an assignment, what kind of things would you say, Carly, you need to really consider and you really need to think about, the basic things that you would advise students to look at?
Right. Well, it's going to feel like the most obvious thing that you could possibly say when you receive an assessment or an assignment, but read those guidelines and make sure that you understand them and reread them. I always say that assessment guidance, I've never seen assessment guidance at this university or any university, thankfully, that's just a question at the top and then a blank sheet of paper, whether printed or virtual. It's never that way. It's not, here's your assessment question. It's, here's your assessment guidance. The question is there, perhaps that you have to answer, maybe multiple that you can decide to choose from. But there's always more information there. And it's exactly for that purpose, to guide you through your planning process, to guide you through the creation of your assessment. So make sure that you read that, reread it, and keep it close throughout the process, because it's going to make sure that you're on track and that you are answering the question as you go. You're using the key terms and the keywords that are expected of you, and that you're drawing upon the areas of knowledge that you are being assessed on ultimately for that assessment or assignment. You might also notice that in your timetable for that module, you might have some time set aside in one of the lectures or one of the class times to talk about that assessment, whether that's your lecture saying that at the end of, you know, week three, we're going to discuss this assessment and there'll be time for you to ask any questions about it. Or we might even come into one of your sessions. So it's not unusual for lectures and us to have a chat about an assessment you have coming up, to discuss what areas of academic skills might be beneficial for you to get some extra support on. And we might come in for part of a lecture and talk about those academic skills, maybe being critical, maybe critical reflection or presentation skills in relation to your assessment coming up. And those can be really, really beneficial because we are reiterating and sometimes saying in different terms or ways some of the expectations for the assessment. So maybe that can just help you to understand it in a different way. But also, if we've discussed with your lecturer their expectations and what they're looking for, so we can really help you with the resources and tools to be able to achieve that through our range of resources, and even booking an appointment with us following that session if you feel that maybe you missed the mark in interpreting or achieving that academic skill for that assessment. So it's a really good opportunity to ask us questions. The lecturer is often there, or the module coordinator, so you can kind of bounce questions off of us as well and get some clarity on what you're supposed to do for that. So it really helps to preface the assessment and to get you thinking about it. And it's a really good session to be sure that you attend if we are in your lecture at any point just before you get started, because it just gets you in the right mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point. I mean, we are in quite a lot of sessions. We do quite a lot of work with lecturers and module coordinators to be in sessions. And, you know, usually that's because, the lecturer knows it's going to be beneficial for us to come in and maybe explain things in a slightly, you know, more straightforward way and, you know, really show how those academic skills can make a difference to your assignment. So, yeah, good. If you see those opportunities coming up, do go along to those sessions. I know when I do them, I'm sure the rest of you are the same. You get some really great questions. And I always think if I was a student, it would be fantastic because you get us as academic skills advisors, but you also get, say, the module coordinator or the lecturer, and they will answer those subject-specific questions as well, which is great. John, did you want to come in here?
Well, but I'm just going to say that those sessions, if they've been done online, they're often recorded. And if they're done in person, then there's probably a PowerPoint available as well. And this is another point that a lot of questions that you might have about a particular assignment may well be answered on Aula as well, or whatever VLA we've got at the time. And so often the answers can be found by looking there.
That's true. Yeah, and there's a lot of good information on Aula, actually. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. And lecturers will add some of our resources up there as well. So there's lots of information there.
And so, I think that's one of the ways that actually lecturers get annoyed if they've gone to the trouble of putting all of that information up there at the time and then you don't use that. That could quite frustrate. In the lead up to the work being kind of handed in anyway, we'll talk about kind of how not to annoy your lecturer when they're marking a bit later on.
That's right. So if we're thinking about getting it right at the start, also, it's useful to think about, you know, just beforehand, hand in. I have a lot of students who claim to thrive on that last minute stress. Something I don't agree with. I think really you've got to, you know, plan and you've got to, you know, think about attention to detail. So I'm going to bring Mary in here just to talk about that attention to detail and some of those things to think about when you're taking time at the end of the assignment before you hand in.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, Linda, because I think what's behind it is that students think they've finished an assignment when they've written the last word of it. And that's just not true, is it? They've not finished it because you haven't checked that you've actually fully answered the question, you haven't checked for mistakes and things like that. So you haven't really yet finished, so you do need some extra time. Obviously, you really do need to go over and check for grammar and punctuation and things. Those are examples of those kind of mistakes that might really get on the nerves of the marker a bit. And it's not because they are angry at you. It's because you're throwing away marks for something that could be easily fixed, okay? And they want you to get a good grade. And so seeing those mistakes over and over is quite disheartening. We do have some guidance on our website about maintaining kind of proper academic tone, grammar and punctuation, the kind of most common mistakes that are made. So it's worth going and checking out those resources to see if those are mistakes that you tend to make. But really just setting aside time and looking at your Word document, seeing if there's anything that's underlined, looking at the Word editor to see if anything comes up, reading out loud to see if it makes sense, and things like that. And I also mentioned actually checking to see if you've answered the question as well. That's obviously really important at the start, as Carly said, but it's also essential to do that at the end. So did you attend to every single component? Is there anything specific that you need to attach to the submission? Is there particular format, things like that? So some assignments will allocate marks specifically for adhering to a structure, using a specific cover sheet, including your reference list. Again, those are all things that if you're losing marks on them, it's just really annoying for the marker. So easy marks to gain, but also unfortunately easy to lose if you miss those out. And then the final thing, I guess, is just making sure you actually stuck to the word count. Word counts are there for a reason. Okay, the lecturer has assigned a set piece of information, a set piece of an assignment to answer certain information in a certain number of words. So they're looking for a certain amount of depth. They're not looking for just any amount of depth on it. Okay, the word count is there for a reason. Usually there is that kind of 10% over under buffer, but there are some courses that might not allow that or might have a slightly different rule. So make sure that you've double checked that. I'd also say that students tend to worry a bit more about going over than under, but you will also maybe be penalized if you're under the word count. And something that I always say is, you have thrown away words that you could have used to improve your assignment if you're significantly under. Because as I said before, the word count is intentional. So if you're only answering kind of 30% of the word count, you're only really doing that much of the assignment as well. You're losing the rest of it. So yeah, make sure that you have, you know, adhere to all of those expectations and things. And make sure that you're aware of all of those common errors and the actual clear rules for the assignment as well.
Yeah. It's that attention to detail, I think. You know, it just shows a marker that you've taken care, you know, to do something, to really check it through, you know, and that can really make a difference. So maybe the final thing for us to sort of offer today is maybe a little tip each in terms of getting the basics right. So just going to, each of us in turn will sort of offer just a little tip of just something to think about. So I think, Carly, you're going to go first with your tip.
Yeah, so initially I had planned to talk about asking questions, but I'd kind of address that in terms of understanding your assessment guidance in the first place. So once you understand it, you know, if it's not your first assessment, especially not your first assessment at university, then it's a good time to also think about the feedback that you've received from past assessments, because maybe you didn't get the basics right in your previous assessment. Maybe there's something that you can improve on that you can think about for this assessment. So if you have repeated feedback that says that you need some extra time and care for referencing, then maybe attend one of our general sessions that's open to all students on referencing to get a better handle on it, or make an appointment or look at our resources so that you can address that and do better this time. So apply that feedback so that you can enhance the quality of your work throughout the entire duration of your course.
Okay. Thanks for that. And Mary, want to come in with a tip as well?
Yeah, I think my tip would just be to make some kind of plan before you start writing, okay? I mean, it sounds kind of basic, but I think students really want to get started with the assignment. They want to get the first kind of word down to feel like they've started. But so often when you just start writing without firstly looking at the question, thinking about what you're going to do and making a wee note, you can really end up on a tangent, or you can end up with a really imbalanced structure or something like that. And so any kind of plan, I usually actually suggest try and keep them brief. So bullet points, headings, just a wee note of maybe a source you're going to use. I am very fragmented when I plan and things like that. So it's not like you have to basically write the whole essay in short form and then write it all out again. But some kind of plan. And if you can keep it in view while you're writing, that's even better, because it will bring your attention back to what you had intended to do. So that if you find yourself maybe spending an extra 200 words on something, you're kind of redirected to get on to the next point.
Yeah, good tip. And John, I think you wanted to talk a little bit about Turnitin, because that can be an area that students get very stressed about.
Yeah, just in the lead up to handing in their assignment. Yeah, I mean, my tip is just don't get obsessed with Turnitin. I've seen a few students recently that was trying to, spending all their time trying to beat Turnitin and reduce their similarity score. And that becomes the quest rather than doing the actual assignment. Mm. Remember, you get access to Turnitin because we want transparency in terms of how this works. But it is meant to be more a guide for your markers than it is for you. That's the thing. And you should be, I don't think you should, if you're interacting for longer than 10 or 15 minutes with Turnitin at the end of your assignment, once you submit it, then I think you're doing something wrong with the actual process of writing. So my top tip, and we do have a podcast that we've already recorded about Turnitin, how that works.
Yeah.
Check that out. If you're not familiar with how it works, you know, please don't get obsessed. Listen to the podcast, but don't get obsessed with kind of how to kind of reduce your similarity score. And remember, it is a similarity score that appears. It's not a plagiarism score. If you don't understand the difference, have a listen to the podcast that we did, I think, at the end of last year, and that should explain things in a bit more detail.
Yeah, good point, and a good plug for that podcast as well, where we go into quite a bit of detail. And I guess
fill in any cover sheets that you've been asked to do as well, and label any files appropriately. That would be another thing to do to help your marker out and not to annoy them. Yeah,
absolutely. And I've had situations with students who've just not uploaded, you know, the right cover sheet or the, you know, correct document in the correct order, and you lose marks for it, you know, which is very frustrating for the marker, because they have to follow the rules. And if you've not followed the rules, they can't give you the marks. Yeah. And then I guess my final sort of tip would just be factor in time for proofreading. So I think people often underestimate how long that takes. And think about the different ways to do it. So, you know, either listen to text being read back, ask somebody. They don't need to know the topic, but they just need to know what, you know, makes a sentence, and where commas and full stops should be, and capital letters, all that kind of thing. Factor that into your planning. I think often students will see the deadline and just hand something in at the last minute, and they've not taken that time to just go through and read it. I always say, if you can, if you're planning well, you should be able to put the whole assignment aside for a day and then go back to it and then read it sort of with fresh eyes. And because it's amazing what you can pick up then. So lots of just little tips. Really just wanted to sort of emphasise, you know, that idea of, you know, thinking about the basics, because we do tend to forget. We get maybe a bit caught up in the assignment, and, you know, we're either trying to turn it in, as John said, or we're trying to beat the deadline, and we're not paying attention to those details. Remember, you can book a one-to-one appointment with any one of us in Academic Skills to talk about your study habits, referencing, or anything Academic Skills related. And you can book with us through the UWS Student app or the Academic Skills website. So good to see you all, John, Carly and Mary. Thanks for coming along. And as always, we'd love your comments and feedback. Anything that you'd like us to discuss, or if you've got some advice to pass on to other students, then email us at skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.